but, or 89, I should say, yep, 89. Kind of talking, going through all of them, 1 through 18. Second Corinthians 1 through 18, we're in chapter 4. So I'm going to read that and give us kind of a
pattern. Are you going to do children's church right now?
I don't, that's a good question. We have this, should we do it? Let's do children's church. Thank you for, that's what the, Leslie, that was that thinking part right there. Thank you for helping. Children's church is dismissed. See, it's teamwork. Okay. Here we go. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 18. Let's do 7 through 18. I'm reading 7 through 18. We're going to save us a little time. Okay. Here we go. Cast down the unconquered. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit and faith according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, the grace, I appreciate the grace, and having spread it through the name may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at things which are seen, but things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Okay. So like I said, we're kind of focused on the struck down but not destroy. I mean, the 8 and 9, you know, kind of, that's where I got this, the idea for this is focusing on that. And so we're going to talk a little bit about our struggles. We're going to talk about being struck down and not destroyed. All right. So Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I'm very thankful for those words. I'm thankful also for the promise of the Bible, because it warns us that there's going to be many troubles in our lives, and I'm not sure which we really needed a book to tell us that, like we just lived there, right? Those circumstances in life that cause us to be weary and heavy laden, which means weighted down. I picture kind of like the idea of the branches, you know, weighted down with snow or apples, right? Just hanging down, this is drying it down, right? Jesus himself told us in John 16:33, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you have peace. And in this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Moses points out that life is filled with trouble as well. In his prayer from Psalm 90, he prayed, the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength, 80 years. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. That is Psalm 90:10. For our affliction does not come from dust, nor does trouble spring from the ground. Yet man is born of trouble as sparks fly over. That's Job 5:6-7. So there's no shortage, right? We are going to face trouble. It's just going to come. There's nothing we can do for it. All Our pilgrimage through life is a journey with many setbacks and trials. The Bible never sugarcoats the Christian life. Yet the Bible gives us comfort. Our trials because it points to repeatedly that Christ and his promise that all those who are weary and heavy laden can come and find rest. There's that promise. Even though it tells us this is what you can expect, it never stops right there. I mean, if it stopped right there, how much of despair? It's just like, why?
Yeah.
Right? But praise God. There's always that but God, right? Mm-hmm. But God. Okay. The promise has been a great deal of comfort for Christians in every era of time, and I imagine it would be a great comfort to the Apostle Paul. He describes some crazy trials that he faced as he proclaimed the gospel. While those trials related specifically to the hardships he faced, as he brought the gospel to a hostile pagan world, they relate to us as well. It's not just isolated with the proclaiming of our faith. They relate to us in a broad sense, since the suffering is inevitable in the experience of being human and in a fallen, sinful world. But the suffering also relates to us in a specific sense, that as Christians, we share not only the glory of Christ, but also in his suffering. And so often that suffering is related to our identity as Christians. This is true for the Apostle Paul and his ministry, but it's also true for us and you and me. As Jesus pointed out repeatedly, those who follow him will share in his sufferings and face persecution. But John 15:18-20 says, if this world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of this world, the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of this world, but I chose you out of this world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Okay? And let's move into what we're talking about, the meat and potatoes of what we're discussing. In verses 8 and 9, right, he describes four types of top troubles, difficulties that we're going to face. He says, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Who hasn't felt that hard pressed and afflicted at one point or another? Sometimes afflicted physically, sometimes financially, maybe mentally, right? And sometimes we are troubled with so many problems that it might seem that there's no solution to these problems. It's just piles on, right? That's the troubles, like the verse 8 describes, are on every side. It's not just we have one or two problems, but at times it seems as though everywhere we look, we are faced with problems. I'm going to use my wife as an example here. She texted me. She was having a Friday. She texted me, and she was like, "I'm having a bad day." And so I said, she was just overloaded. And I'm trying to go, "Hey, let's maybe kind of focus and say, okay, what are you worried about?" And just say, "Okay, let's try to take that off the list or something like that." And so she sends me this text that I'm scrolling through. And it was just almost perfect because it was like, in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm going to do this, the strategy. And then she lays it out as like, this is what she's worried about. And I'm like, going, oh. So it's a great illustration of my mind and her mind, right? My mind, and unfortunately, my mind, this is not we can look at it sometimes as good. My mind, I can shut stuff off. I have no problem shutting stuff off. I'm not worried about it anymore. I move on, right there. Not like it's gone. It's still right there. That's what I'm going to take care of. Not a good thing. But there, God put it. I think if you look at that, we can see that, this combination is, there's no other place that would work as the Lord's economy of my wife and me. Yeah. And even then sometimes, right? Okay, here we go. Let's get back, folks. Okay. All right, we all know the saying that when it rains, it pours. We so easily become weary and heavy laden, but Jesus tells us to come to him for rest. He promises that us that his yoke, right, is easy and his burden is light. He took our the burden of our sin, which was the greatest of all burdens. After all, it's because of sin in the world and sin in our lives that we become hard-pressed and face problems on every side. But Jesus took that burden of our sin upon himself and nailed it to the cross. In verse 8, specifically, the apostle describes being perplexed. Right? We're perplexed. Perhaps Paul's speaking of being perplexed in the response that people give to the gospel. There were many false teachers in Corinth, and for the most part, they were well received. Meanwhile, the truth of the gospel that Paul and other faithful servants of God proclaimed was ridiculed and rejected. Even though we understand that God knows his own people and brings a saving grace to them, and even though we know that the God of this world blinds the eyes of believers to the gospel, it's nevertheless perplexing to see people who know the truth of the gospel reject that truth. We also know who God is. God's identity is written in every sunrise and sunset. His faithfulness is displayed in every changing season. His creative powers is evident in the fearful and wonderful way in which we are created in his image. To us who believe, it is more than obvious who God is. We look at Romans 1:20. It says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even his eternal power and God is, so that they are without excuse." And consequently, we see that unbelievers are blind to what is obvious to us, especially if they have grown up in a Christian family, if they've been faithful to church. It can be perplexing to see that they're in their unbelief. Some of the thoughts perhaps went through Paul's mind. We understand that he faced perplexities just as each and every one of us face our own perplexities. Verse 9 talks about being persecuted. Paul knows better than any of us what persecution is all about. The book of Acts describes how Paul was run out of one town after another. There were many attempts on his life. Right. In 2 Corinthians 11, 20, 24 to 28, Paul writes, "Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentile, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils of false brethren, in the weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and in thirst, in fastings, often in cold and nakedness, besides the other things which come upon me daily." I mean, that's quite the list. I get upset when somebody gets in front of me and I'm driving slow down the road. That would be putting me over the top. The apostle truly understood what it was to be persecuted for the sake of Christ. Although the United States were not persecuted as Paul was, yet every Christian faces persecution to some degree. Jesus guaranteed that, and he said in John 15:20, "Remember the word I said, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you also." In the United States, we haven't really felt that or faced that physical persecution that we do see, but we do see a verbal persecution, don't we? We're often ridiculed and mocked by the world. The media makes it very clear that every form of religion is acceptable except Christianity. False teachers are often held in esteem by the Hollywood elite, but those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ are considered dangerous. Christians are portrayed as hate mongers who need to be silenced. So unless there's a spiritual revival in our land, we will undoubtedly face the same type of persecution that our brothers and sisters in Christ face around the world. The writing is on the wall, and our Savior and our Lord has assured us that those who believe in him will also suffer even as he did. So I Philippians 1:29, "For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake." Verse 9 has a fourth challenge. It describes being struck down. For me, the word struck down gives an image of like a knife, right? And you're thinking of this struck down with the swords. Oh, thankfully you don't have to worry about knights coming along and striking us down. We still have our circumstances, don't we? Right? That can come out of nowhere and take us down. I'm sure you know what it's like to have things running smoothly, then all of a sudden, boom, out of nowhere, trouble comes and strikes us down. But I want to also point out that I'm sure you don't need me to do so, right? That after describing each type of trouble, the apostle points out that could not keep him down, right? We can focus on the negative parts, right? We were hard-pressed, crushed, perplexed, and persecuted, right? But those aren't it, right? We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. How is that possible? How is it possible that someone who has such a who was hard-pressed as Paul could be as resilient in the face of trouble on every side? In the same way, how can people like you and me, whose troubles are not nearly as severe as Paul's, was to stand firm in the face of perplexity and trials and trouble on every side? How are we as Christians to persevere amid all the troubles and sorrows of life that we face? First, we persevere through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 13, he quotes quotes from Psalm 116, describing the faith of the psalm writer. Consider how often David and the other writers of the Psalms were hard-pressed on every side. Do you think David were perplexed when he was promised kingship? And he was relentlessly pursued by Saul? Do you think he knew why he was persecuted to be struck down? David's life was a record of affliction and trouble on every side. Yet his life is also a testimony of strength God revealed in the weakness of human life. David's life is a testimony to the grace of God revealed to a blatant sinner who deserved judgment yet received forgiveness and mercy through the faith in our Lord. So remember David's, what did David? He was a what? He was a man after God's own heart, wasn't he? And look at all the stuff he did, right? And so oftentimes we look at our lives, we look at what we've done, and we just kind of hate it. But that almost in that passage doesn't negate you to be a man after God's heart, to follow hard after the Lord. Right? The same is true for you and me. If you feel hard-pressed on every side, then look to the Lord God Almighty. Ask, do I really believe He's bigger than my problems? Do I really believe that He will work all things out for my good? Do I really believe that He holds the whole world in His hands? Do I really believe that He who sees the sparrow fall to the ground sees me and knows my need and will meet my every need according to His will through the faith in His Son, Jesus Christ? If you and I look to the Lord in faith, then we will not be crushed even when we are hard-pressed. We may be perplexed, but we will not despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. It's that faith in Jesus Christ that's going to help us. Another way we can persevere is through our identity in Christ. God enables us to persevere through the knowledge of Jesus Christ's resurrection and our identity in Him and His life and death. One of the things that has sustained God's people in every age is the focus on the risen Savior and Lord. In verse 13 through 14, the Apostle Paul points to a scene that we do not focus on often enough. He points to a scene of the open tomb. And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believe, and therefore I spoke, but we also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that He who has raised Jesus, or Lord Jesus, will also raise up tomb. That you raised up Jesus will also raise us up and will present you with us. The reason Paul did not lose heart when he faced all the types of trouble is because he realized that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead would enable him to endure adversity. Right? It's that exact same power. Perhaps you noticed in verse 10 through 11, I kind of bounced back there a little bit, but I think how the apostle links to his identity to Jesus in both his death of Jesus and also the life and resurrection. The power of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead is written about in Scripture time and time again. Yet so often we only focus on the resurrection of Jesus Christ at Easter. By doing so, we miss out on that tremendous source of biblical comfort and strength. We need to have that. We have that access to that power. We need to make sure that we think about that. We know that that's where we walk firmly and confidently, that we have that power every day, not just around Easter time. It was Paul's focus on that on the resurrection that gave him strength to face innumerable afflictions and troubles of his life. It is because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that he did not lose heart. We look at verse 16, therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Do you feel hard-pressed, perplexed, persecuted, stuck down? Then remember that one day you will be raised up just as Jesus was. When Jesus returns, our physical bodies will be raised from the grave, joined with our souls, and we will be presented faultless before the presence of our Heavenly Father. Certainly, the certainty of the resurrection gave the apostle strength to go on, even when he faces a myriad of troubles in his life. The same is true for you and me. Whatever troubles we face in our lives, when we focus on the faith in our Lord, when I focus on our Lord Jesus Christ and focus on the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, we find great encouragement and a resurrection strength. Too often we just get stuck with it. You know, you think of the different, different religions. And their God is, they're dead. Right? Our God is alive. He's been resurrected. Right? And we need to focus on that empty tomb, because that's where that power is. That's where that power for us to be able to walk victoriously in our life, unconquered. We need to be walking in that power. We can't walk in that power when we're focused on what's going on around us. We got to walk in that power when we're focused on Christ. Third way that God, by His grace, enables us to persevere through trouble and affliction is to focus on the glory yet revealed. In verses 17 through 18, it says, "For our light affliction was for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at things which are seen, but things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but things which are unseen are not seen are eternal." You may see all the problems of your life and mine. You may see all the problems of our nation and our world. You and I may be experienced being hard-pressed, perplexed, persecuted, and struck down. But these problems, which seem so monumental, are light and momentary in comparison to the glory that is yet to be revealed throughout all eternity for those who believe in Jesus. Are you feeling hard-pressed this morning, perplexed in life or about life, about what tomorrow holds? Do you feel persecuted or maligned? Do you feel as though you've been caught from behind at times and struck down? If so, persevere by faith in our Lord. Focus on the reality of the resurrection of Jesus and how His resurrection gives comfort for His life and the certainty of life to come. Always remember always remember that what is seen all the afflictions and the problems of life is temporary, but what is unseen, the eternal glory to be revealed to those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, is eternal. It is by focusing on our risen Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ that you and I will find that strength that Paul described in 8 and 9. In those verses, the apostle acknowledges the truth of Christ, of all Scripture, and in the world we will face tribulation, trouble, sorrow, and affliction. But yet, by having faith in Jesus Christ, we not only have salvation from sin and the gift of eternal life in heaven, through our faith in Jesus Christ alone, we also have the strength to overcome the adversities, sorrows, and perplexities of life right now. Do you have that saving faith in Christ alone? Do you know Him as a Savior and Lord? Is He the one who says, "All right, He is the one who says, 'Come to me, and I will give you rest'? by God's grace, you have come to him in humble repentance, or have you come to him in humble repentance? Is he your risen Savior, the one whom you profess to others? If so, you can echo those words in 8 and 9 with confidence. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. All because of Jesus Christ, his life, his death, and his resurrection. Amen. That's it. Hopefully, even faster than I thought it was going to be. That's the problem of reading it, is that it just flies right by. So we're going to go ahead and close in prayer.
Chris?
Yes, sir.
Maybe I missed something here, but yep. Are we going to have worship team come up?
Oh, my goodness. You know how John does that? It's kind of freaking nervous. Yeah, that's what I like to do.
That's why you're done faster.
You meant to go to the end.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm going to blame the elders in this one. They didn't stop me to do it. That's the anxiety that I was just like, okay. All right. At this time, we are going to bring the worship to God, and we are going to worship the Lord.
Amen.
Come on up.
We could get Chris up here, huh? He's hanging out with us.
This thing was making out here. Come on. All right, my mic is up here. Somehow, God has a way of bringing us all into one family. Amen?
Amen.
I was thinking about a guy that you guys might know, Dr. Erica. Anybody know Dr. Erica out there?
Me.
And anyway, he used to play hockey with us, and I was at Safeway. And I don't know if you know Gene Hill. He's another guy in the medical field, and he was behind me, and he has like a rough voice, and he's like, hey, Josh. He's like, I heard Dr. Erica plays hockey with you. And I'm like, who? He's like, Dr. Erica. Dr. Erica? Yeah, Bill. Bill Erica. Oh, Billy? Yeah, he plays with us. You know? I got a verse for that. Ephesians 2:5-6. Even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together. Amen?
Amen.
And made us together sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So he has a way of just bringing all different kinds of people together and worshiping him. Amen.
Amen.
And we can all be called the family of God. All right. All that being said. 4:8, I will lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only must be dwell in safety. And Psalm 5:3, my voice shall you hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto you and look up. And the verse from this song, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Amen.
Amen.
Oh,
Cause all the powers of darkness can't drown out a single word. And all the powers of darkness trampled up what they just heard. Cause all the powers of darkness can't drown out a single word. For the children sing glory, glory. Thank you.
prayer we go. God, Ephesians 3, 16 through 21, it says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, that he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with to the measure of all the fullness of God. Isn't that amazing? You have the measure of the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
God, people said.